From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the Book of Acts as he brings the final portion of a message called The Tactics of the Devil. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled Absolute Assurance. The text is Hebrews 13 and verse 5. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Several times in the Scriptures the Lord hath said this. He has often repeated it to make our assurance doubly sure. Let us never harbor a doubt of it. In itself, the promise is specially emphatic. In the Greek, it has five negatives, each one definitely shutting out the possibility of the Lord's ever leaving one of His people so that He can justly feel forsaken of His God. This priceless scripture does not promise us exemption from trouble, but it does secure us against desertion. We may be called to traverse strange ways, but we shall always have our Lord's company, assistance, and provision. We need not covet money, for we shall always have our God, and God is better than gold. His favor is better than fortune. We ought surely to be content with such things as we have, for he who has God has more than all the world besides. What can we have beyond the infinite? What more can we desire than almighty goodness? Come, my heart, if God says he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, be thou much in prayer for grace, that thou mayest never leave thy Lord, nor even for a moment forsake his ways.
Thank you.
Now that the rush of the holiday season has subsided, we hope you've had time to reflect on the true significance of Christmas, God's unspeakable gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. To that end, Let the Bible Speak has been offering a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to continue to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 1-866-LTBS. That's 1-866-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. The response to this publication has been most enthusiastic, so we encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while our supply lasts. Order yours today. From the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 5, we've seen the first instance of discipline in the New Testament church. Ananias and Sapphira had sold some property, and they professed to be giving all of the proceeds to the church, but by secret agreement they held back a portion for themselves. Not deceived by their lie, Peter confronted them with lying to the Holy Spirit, and both of them were struck dead by God's hand. There are disastrous consequences when a husband and wife connive together in sin. This couple wanted the appearance of godliness, but as Christ said to the seven churches in Revelation, "I know thy works." It is not a light matter to trifle with God, for he will not allow one to go on in bringing reproach to the name of Christ and the testimony of the gospel. As a result of this judgment, great fear came upon the church. Now to conclude this message entitled, "The Tactics of the Devil," here is Dr. Cairns.
My friend, let me say this to you. If you go to the book of the Revelation in the seven churches of Asia Minor, and you see there the Lord's introductory words to every church, he always starts by saying, "I know thy works." And oh, if we could only write that, or ask the Lord to write it upon our hearts, if that could be emblazoned upon our minds, if it could be stamped upon our eyeballs, "I know thy works." The world may not know them. Man, you might put on a fair aspect of Christianity. You might put on a fair show of godliness. You might seem, even to your nearest and dearest, to be spiritual and interested in the things of God. But the Lord says, "I know your works. I know what lies behind the facade. I see the heart that gives birth to those works. I see the wickedness and the uncleanness. And there is no point in being a secret sinner, because secret sin will yet be found out." The Scripture teaches that all things are open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Well, you see the solemnity of sin here. It's not robbery against poor believers, although it was that, but that's not the charge that's led to their door. It's not the charge of deceiving Christ's apostles, although that was true. They had done that. But it's lying to the Holy Ghost, lying to God, tempting the Spirit of the Lord. You see, sin is basically against God. And let's get this. This should solemnize our hearts. If you sin so as to hurt the testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ, look, you're not only sinning against yourself, although you are doing that. I remember talking to a Christian in a place of business one day. He had told a lie just to cover up his own business incompetence. He had told a blatant falsehood. When I acted on his falsehood, not knowing it to be false, and arrived at his place of business, expecting a certain order to be ready, the unsaved person who was there looked blankly, and then realized the lie that had been told. I got that Christian. I set him down before me. And I said, "Now you listen to me. You've told a lie." And he went to deny it. I said, "Now don't compound the lie by telling another lie. You told a lie. Before God, you know it, a blatant falsehood, because you thought that I would be nowhere near to find it out." Now, telling a lie to me is one thing, but there's an unsaved fellow in the shop next door, and he knows you're a liar. And I said, "You remember this. You can afford to lose your wealth, and you can afford to lose your health. But the most precious thing you have in the world is your testimony. And when you have lost that, you have lost everything." These people certainly sinned against themselves. They sinned against each other. You'll hurt your family by hypocrisy. They sinned against the church. You'll hurt the church by hypocrisy. But that's not the charge that's led against them. It was sin against God. At the end of the day, we stand or fall before him. How solemn it is then that it's in the light of God we're judged. Notice the perjury of their souls. I want you to notice the word "lie," verse 3. "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Now, I don't want you to think that Ananias was some sort of a mere tool of the devil. He wasn't. He was a willing tool. Because in verse 4, it says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Or literally, why hast thou put this thing in thine heart? Ananias was going hand in hand with the devil here. What did he do? He lied. Now, the strange thing is, if you read those verses carefully, he didn't open his mouth. You read it again. He didn't say a word to Peter about the price of the land. He didn't say to Peter, as his wife later did, yes, I sold it for so much. He didn't open his mouth. Didn't get a chance to. But he came and he put the money down. He acted the lie. He didn't have to speak it. And my friend, let me tell you, the apostle says by inspiration, why has Satan filled your heart to lie, even though you haven't opened your mouth? Branded as a liar by a deceitful life. Branded as a liar by hypocritical action. My friend, you may be very careful about your speech. God brands you or me as a liar nonetheless than Ananias. If we profess one thing with our lips and live another thing with our life. Oh, the perjury of the soul. What did the psalmist say? Psalm 51, verse 6. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Truth in the inward parts. Truth in the heart. Truth toward God. Oh, may God find us honest, not hypocritical. Because finally, very quickly, verse 5 through to 11 shows the sudden retribution. Now, I haven't time really to preach in this passage. Simply to say that Ananias was slain by the hand of God. No doubt of that. And Sapphira, 3 hours later, was slain by the hand of God. Although she was given the added opportunity to confess and repent. But she didn't give God the glory. That will show you the magnitude of this crime. Insincerity and hypocrisy are not trifling matters. We so often think of them that way. Well, he's honest in most ways. He's honest in business. He provides a good home. He does this. He does that. He gives to the church. And therefore we think insincerity a trifling thing. It's not. It slew these people. Let me put it this way. It is the height of sin for any believer or any professing believer to seek to put off God with part of our life. Matthew 22, 37 and 38. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. This is the first and great commandment of the law. You'll see here the measure of God's wrath. The penalty was death. How many people go through this life with scant regard to the things of God? They pay the minimum of attention to the duties of Scripture. They offer God a half-hearted repentance and a half-hearted religion. Well, I want to tell you, a half-hearted repentance and a half-hearted religion have never succeeded in doing anything else but leading a man to death and hell. And if yours is a half-hearted repentance, it's no repentance at all. If yours is a half-hearted religion, it's no religion at all that will satisfy God. And if you're just going through life paying the least attention you can to the things of God, paying the minimum amount of regard to the things of God, my friend, it is obviously ill with your soul. You would do well, ere death overtakes you, to make sure you're right with God. Let this even be a lesson to every Christian. They need to be careful to maintain good works. John wrote in his first epistle, there is a sin which is not unto death, and there is a sin which is unto death. And here was a sin. If these people were ever saved, which I very much doubt, but if they were ever saved, it would certainly be an example of the sin unto death. Where the Lord puts his hand on people and says, I will let you mar the testimony no further. I'm taking you out of this. And I want you to notice this. John said, you're not even to pray for such a person. When the Lord puts his hand on someone like this,
You're not even to pray for them. And you can see there's not a word of intercession by Peter on their behalf. A measure of God's wrath. Hypocrisy. Empty profession. These are deadly sins. And I think there is a message of truth here for us. Verse 11 says, great fear came upon all the church. Great fear came upon all the church. The fear of God, which we are told is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. Why were they afraid of the Lord? Because they realized more than ever before, God is holy. You know, if there's one thing I would love us, certainly love for myself more and more to be able to recognize, it is the holiness of God. Oh, if we could only get the vision that Isaiah received in chapter 6, where he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train and his glory filled the temple. And they saw the angelic hosts crying, holy, holy, holy. You know, a vision of the holiness of God will do more to humble us and make us holy than all the arguments of men. Let's walk in the fear of the Lord today and every day. Even the Apostle Paul walked that way. He said, I fear, lest having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Castaway means set aside for service, put on the scrap heap. Useless, as he put it, in other language, saved so as by fire. Getting to heaven by the skin of your teeth. Saved, but no fruit to bring with you. I fear, says Paul, lest having preached to others, I, the greatest preacher the world has seen since the days of Christ, even he says, lest I should be a castaway. Oh, may God teach us that holy awe, that reverential fear, which is clean and will make us clean. May we see the holiness of God and abhor hypocrisy. May God make us what we ought to be. May we not be a living lie. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Give fruit for the preaching of thy word. Lord, make us holy. Lord, make us more like the Master in word, in thought, and in deed. Save us from the attack of the devil, whether from the outside or from the inside. And grant, O Lord, that being careful to maintain good works, not that we shall be saved by our good works, but working because the grace of God has saved us and has given us a desire to please the Lord, being careful to maintain good works, grant that thou wilt enable us to raise and establish a testimony to the praise of thy name, bringing many souls to Christ and withstanding every attack of the devil. Hear us now, we pray, and part us with thy blessing. Keep thy hand upon us individually, and keep thy hand upon our homes and family circles. And grant that when the day dawns and the shadows have all fled away, not one of us will lose our loved ones, but that we'll see them safely gathered in. We pray in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.